E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
It is trifecta time, where we remember those who have left the building and consider their body of work to see how much they mattered and whether they have the credentials to gain a room in a three-bedroom apartment in the sky. Deej, where are we?
Working on room 504, currently occupied by Brian Wilson.
Ooh, high bar. Also, are we welcoming in Donnie Dew?
And you know this man.
Hello, Donovan.
Hello, what's up? Donovan!
So nice to hear your voice.
As I told Donovan...
Hello, Mother.
I told Donovan this morning when I was leaving the studio for the birdhouse, after the birdhouse, get ready, because today is the day we do Sly Stone.
Yeah, DJ made us save it for you, Donnie.
Sylvester Stallone, Bob. Sly Stone.
He wanted you to have a candidate that you've heard of.
And you know what?
Oh, there he is. There he is. You appreciate Hello? DJ?
I do, absolutely.
Okay. Well, today, yes, Sly Stone, born in Denton, Texas, March 15th, 1943. His family quickly moved to the Northern Bay Area of San Francisco. And this kid, by all accounts, was a musical genius at a very, very early age. Sly was proficient at the age of 7 on the keyboards. At 7! And by the age of 11, he had mastered the guitar, bass, and drums as well. He could not only play everything, he played it all perfectly. And while he was in high school up there, he joined a couple of high school bands, got really into soul music of the time in the late 50s and early 60s. He became a DJ, working for a San Francisco soul radio station in the early 60s. And then he starts putting together real bands. He started playing keyboards for Dionne Warwick and the Righteous Brothers and Marvin Gaye before he turns to his brother Freddie and he's like, why don't we do something together and put together a band? They called themselves Sly and the Stoners before they settled on Sly and the Family Stone. Yes. And that was in 1966. And the coolest part about this band, and is the Summer of Soul, the documentary that Questlove did?
Yeah.
Okay. So that documentary, have you seen that, Donovan?
I have not, and I'm very mad at myself for not watching it. I've been told by so many people watch it, and yes. I haven't.
So all these kids in Harlem where this music festival is taking place, they really had never seen a white person outside of like a police officer. And
God.
What?
I know. That seems a bridge too far.
Well, they're telling the story. And
well,
so
then let them tell it.
They're little kids. And so they all knew the music of Sly and the Family Stone. And so they go see the band live. And all of them said the same thing. You know, they were 10 years old at the time, 12 years old, maybe teenagers. They were like, always bet on black.
That's not what they said.
He had white people in his band. And like, we not only had never seen white people really, we didn't know they could play music. We had no idea that they knew how to play instruments.
They had never seen groovy white people.
Yes. And he had women that were playing instruments in his band. Sly was awesome. The Black Panthers at the time, like when they started getting popular, the Black Panthers and the leaders of the group started pressuring him to kick out the white people in his band. And I can't remember their names, but they both have spoken up saying, dude, he wouldn't do it. He would not back down to the Black Panthers and was sticking up for us privately, publicly, anywhere.
Did he actually go to Wakanda and like defend his bandmate?
So I hate to break this to you, Dave, but that's a movie.
And it's not more than one. He said Black Panthers. That's not what they're called in Wakanda, Dave.
So they had their first hit single in 1967 with Dance to the Music. Dance to the Music. I hope everybody's heard this before. I doubt they have, but it's an awesome song.
Norm's trying.
Everyone said that James Brown was the one that kind of started the soul music revolution, but Sly perfected it.
It's like the Jackson 5 stole everything from him.
Yeah. And about the same time, he started getting into things like cocaine. But it didn't slow him down, and it didn't slow the band down, because 2 years after they released the Dance to the Music album, which did quite well, they released a couple of records that weren't as well received, but then came their number one of all time hit, Everyday People.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I like soul music. It's...
Just an awesome song, and so much creativity in every one of these songs.
You know, a lot of videos were...
Sam! God, it's almost Juneteenth.
So disrespectful.
Seriously.
What's with the eye pokes?
What was that, Dave?
I was just saying a lot of videos circulated after his passing, and I saw one when they were on... I guess it was Soul Train. I believe it was Soul Train.
Whoa.
And, you
okay,
know.
Okay, every time they mention something in the community that doesn't deserve a whoa, let them go. Good Lord.
But, you know, I mean, TV appearances, it's usually lip synced. It's, you know, they're not performing live.
Especially Soul Train.
But on, yeah. But on whatever this show was, that not only were Sly and the Family Stone playing live, but they were like breaking it down and improvising.
Yeah. Like it was a dead show or something like that. Yeah, they were letting him just go and go and go.
Bingo.
Yeah, it's awesome. You can't bingo that. So that culminated with, Thank You, I think, was released right after that. You can fire up Thank You. Get this bass line.
Yeah, that's funky.
He was the first bass player to do that. Do the slap and pop.
Really? Mm-hmm. Larry, what's his name from... Larry. Donovan, what's Larry's last name?
Graham.
From Parliament Funkadelic?
Yeah.
Was he the guy that wore the diaper?
I think so.
No, I doubt that. I don't think Diaper Man was out there slapping the face.
Was he the one who was wearing
the wedding
dress?
I can promise you that.
But they were huge. They were so big, they got invited to do Woodstock. And that same summer, they did the Summer of Soul concerts, as we mentioned, in Harlem. And they were the biggest hit that that outfit had. Golly.
Good Lord. They are musicians' favorite musicians.
Yes.
When you start asking around, you may ask a lot of people who are fans of music, and you don't get a lot of Sly and the Family Stone as far as their favorite act. But when you ask musicians in the business... They are talked about all the time. It's just all about when we do the sampler platter. Their songs are sampled hundreds and hundreds of times by several different artists because of the influence they had. If you wouldn't have George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic if you didn't have Sly and the Family Stone.
No, not even close. But as we mentioned, this was about the time in the late 60s around Woodstock and the Summer of Soul, and they're point of their biggest popularity, that he was doing so much cocaine, and that kind of devolved into doing PCP. He was notorious for having a violin case that he took everywhere that contained all the drugs and no violin.
Yeah, I don't see any songs with violin in it.
Yeah, well, he had more than violin in there. He partied hard. And
what if he ever partied with Three Dog Night?
Seriously.
There's probably a good chance they cross paths.
Was
by the way,
free basing equipment in there?
Bob Marley's first touring gig in the United States opened up for Sly and the Family Stone.
But he made it to his 80s.
Yeah, that's the crazy part.
With so many drugs in his system.
Yeah, and he also, in the mid-70s...
Maybe they're good for you.
They would have these huge shows, you know, playing in front of sold-out arenas, and then he wouldn't show up. And that became a problem. He literally would not show up for gigs.
Jeez.
Which, speaking of Parliament, they got that bit from him. They had to have. Or showing up 3 hours late, or whatever the case. So, yeah, man, they started to eventually just fall apart, and his drug use was so bad that he kind of fell out of sight. And this went on for years and years and years. To the point where people are like, is he dead? Like, they didn't know. And he ended up recording records. More records. He never had a hit. He collaborated with Parliament. Arrested multiple times for cocaine possession. Got probation. I think that he may have gone to jail once or twice. But I don't even know if he ever got completely sober or talked about it. Which is crazy. But it's like the longer it went on where he wasn't around, the more... Like Donovan was saying, the more musicians would talk about his influence on them. And so he became more and more of this legend.
He's in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, got there in the
90s. I remember the huge deal when he came out because he hadn't performed in a long time. And man, I want to say it was a Grammy Awards or a BET
yes.
Awards or something.
It was Grammys.
He performed like... Was it the Grammys? Okay, and
yeah.
He came out and he performed, and it was like the first time in 20 years that he had performed live. And yeah, he'd look rode hard, but he partied hard.
The funniest disappearing act from him was he was playing in 2008, so he's making this little comeback, and he's playing in Northern California. He played 22 minutes, and as he wandered off stage, he looked out to the crowd. He's like, I'll be right back. I got to take a pee. And he never came back. So it's just kind of weird, weird stuff after weird, weird stuff. But he was a titan in that world at the time. And a badass. A virtuoso. And from Texas.
I wonder if they ever shared a stage, shared a bill with the Beach Boys. Or if they're going to be meeting for the first time.
We will know.
I mean, there's probably pretty good odds that those two did drugs together. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. That feels like two very separate audiences. Maybe if it was some kind of festival, maybe, but I don't even see
that.
Yeah,
are you claiming everyone that used drugs back then knew each other?
Yes. They would find each other for sure. Let's see. Does he have kids and stuff? I don't even know.
Yes, several he does.
Kids. Oh, they're, yeah, there they are. Okay. All right. Well, he has checked out at the age of 82. Shocking that he made it that long, no doubt. But Lando, Sly?
Without question, genius.
Worthy.
Ham?
You try to paint him in a bad light, but worthy.
I really did try to downgrade him. Donovan, of course.
Absolutely.
Yes. The rest of us, of course. So it's Brian Wilson.
Sly Stone, sir, again.
Those two right now?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking to Bob.
I know you are.
He knows what he's doing.
Worthy. I know you are. All right, Donnie. Thank you very much.
All right, boys.
Bye, Donnie.
Sly. Sorry for your loss. We'll see you tomorrow night at Summer Chill.
That's tomorrow. Okay, yeah, I'll be there.
You damn right you will be. All right, we'll see you.
Sorry to make you work on Juneteenth.
Jeez.
Double duty, too. Whoa. Have to do the show and Summer Chill? Yeah, thanks.
Why do you have to laugh at that at the end?